Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 408 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show, we'll be finding out all about a festival that takes place in Wolverhampton this weekend that works around the works of the Bard. That's on the way at the arena. Also, singer Jason Jones will be joining us. We'll have a chat. And also, you can hear what happened when he sang live to the stadium at Molineux on Friday night as Wolves took on Brighton and Hove Albion. In a short while's time, we'll be paying tribute to Pete Clements, former Beacon Radio presenter and top bloke, really nice fella, known throughout the Wolverhampton and West Midlands area. Went to live in Houston, and that's somewhere I actually met up with him a few times when I was over there. And you can hear one of the chats we had when I went along when we were over there and exploring Houston. He was a fantastic guide, sorely missed. We'll be doing that tribute a little bit later on. But first of all, a recent survey has shown that over half of Brits would persevere dining outdoors even through bad weather. That's quite good with some of the summer sunshine that we don't get. David Dominey is celebrity gardener and broadcaster, and he joins me on the line now. Hello.
Hello.
Whenever you're out in the garden and you get a chance to eat, there's 101 things which can make it a little difficult, but we still love it, don't we?
We do, and I think that barbecue's on for me. I think when you get that little bit of sun on the back of your neck, that you feel that that's a key, and you walk down the street and you can smell the barbecues and you can hear people laughing, kids playing. It's a magic time. It's like the garden comes to life. It's not just about weeding, watering and cutting the lawn. You know, it's water pistols with the kids. It's a glass of orange juice on a Saturday morning. It's the scent of honeysuckle in the air. It's the birds. It's the sound of the bees. It's away from sitting in the lounge watching the telly or the kids in the bedroom on the iPads or whatever. We reconnect with nature and seem to have a good time and feel better for it.
Yeah, because I mean, it is basically just a room outdoors when the weather allows us to sit out there, and one where probably the Wi-Fi doesn't reach to quite so well, so you actually get to see the family properly.
You do. You can play the radio out there and relax. And you mentioned earlier on about us persevering with it, but we're like that. You get to a point where you go abroad and it's hot every day and people get used to it, but in the UK we get a few hot days. We've got the shorts on, the t-shirt on. It may be a bit nippy, but you know, we're sticking with it. The barbecue's on. Many times I'm cooking and the family's there and it starts to rain, but I'm persevering. I'm going to finish cooking this and we're going to enjoy ourselves no matter what. And it's that type of positive spirit that we have in Britain that makes us so very proud of our gardens and the time that we have to spend with our families and our friends. And as I keep saying, it's not just all about hard work. There is a bit of planting, then there is a bit of lawn cutting, but we should do the graft and then have the reward as well. And spending the time to enjoy the garden, sit out in it, is the step forward. And those who haven't gardened before and then get the bug, it'll stick with them for the rest of their lives, because it's connecting with nature, it's great fun, immensely rewarding, and it's hugely healthy too.
You're a regular on ITV's Love Your Garden, a resident gardener on This Morning, so you're used to helping people get on top of the gardening situation. But I mean, in this recent survey, a third of people say they quite fancy a pizza oven outside. Now, that is, you know, eating outdoors to the extreme, surely.
Yeah, it is. And I think the difference is in cooking. If you're inside, there's a microwave, there's the hob, there's the whatever. But outside, you know, cooking becomes part of the fun. Dad's cooking the sausages, or the mates around, there's a beer, maybe some kebabs and all sorts. And we're getting more adventurous. So the barbecue people are graduating and looking at different ways. And pizza ovens seem to be a really hot topic at the moment. And because you can get them up to 350-500 degrees. You just put this kiln-dried hardwood. You can pick it up at garden centres and DIY stores. You start the fire up, light it up, and then after about half an hour, when you've started to get the embers, move it to the side and then put that pizza in. Because with barbecues, you are cooking on flame, but of course with ovens, you're cooking with the heat. And if you're cooking with wood, that's what infuses with the flavour too. And a pizza like you get in Italy has been cooked very quickly at a very high temperature in that environment. And that's why you get that beautiful crisp underlay and the soft toppings that haven't dried out, which is so very different. If you think you can do that in your own garden, that's when it starts to become terribly exciting.
And what else can we do to make our gardens the perfect setting for our eating and dining?
Well, I think in many cases, if you're talking pizzas, you can grow most of the toppings that you need for the pizzas. Tomatoes, onions, oregano, garlic, rocket, chilli. You know, you can get these kits to even grow the mushrooms indoors. It's not difficult. And if you're picking that oregano fresh, sprinkling it over the top of the pizza, a mouthful of that and a cold beer on top of it, it's lovely. And herbs, growing herbs in the garden as well. Things like mint work particularly well. You can even get I think they've got the chocolate mint now. It smells like After Eight mints. But if you take a few leaves of that, drop it in your Pims, it's lovely. You know, if you like champagne or sparkling wine, you should be growing the strawberries to go with it. Or rosemary, if you like lamb on a Sunday. There's so many things that we can plant in our garden, you know, that feeds us as well. And most of these plants, certainly rosemary, is such an easy plant to grow. You just put it in the ground and let nature do the rest. But when you're picking those fresh sprigs, stabbing a hole of a leg of lamb and forcing it in there and then roasting it, you get a beautiful aromatic flavour that goes with it. Makes a big bit of a difference. It's not hard work gardening. We should just be getting started on small projects and then a little reward, then another project. And if anything starts for the bank holiday, getting the patio ready for a barbecue party with friends, or it's just the family, or just the two of you with a glass of wine and just enjoying your own land outdoors.
And even if it's quite a small space, there's lots you can do with it.
Oh, yeah, of course you can. I think that the smaller spaces give some better opportunities, because if you look at a garden, it's not just the ground space, it's the walls as well. And hanging baskets, you can grow trailing strawberries. There's also a tumbler tomato that can go into hanging baskets and wall mangers. You can grow fan-trained plum trees, or espalier, which is the horizontally trained apples and pears. You can use reflective mirrors to create optical illusions. And if you've got paths, make them gold gravel rather than dark gravel or paving. And if you're staining fences, make them light stain. And all these optical illusions refresh the garden and make them feel bigger. But the biggest thing that we make the mistake in small gardens is let hedges or trees grow in. So cut back and let in the light.
And have an enjoyable open space as best you can, and enjoy eating out there, and say making that extra room on your house, because it is about that extra space. You've paid for that, you've got to make the most of it, haven't you?
You have, and you only need to catch a train into Birmingham, just have a look at all the different back gardens you see on the way. And, you know, there's a lot of trampolines out there, I can tell you, but, you know, there's a lot that haven't been used, and you think that's quite a footprint in many cases. You know, it's 2-3 times the size of the house. Get out there, get the patio reclaimed. You need to put a lawn down. If you've got a bit of space, put in some apple trees. You know, you're not a million miles away from producing your own apple juice or cider. And in many cases, these type of plants, you know, once they're established, don't need too much maintenance. But it's getting control of it and then using it as a place to go at the end of a day's work. Something that you can sit down, read a book, listen to the radio, and just recharge the batteries. The closer we are to nature, the happier we are.
Yeah, always grateful. If you want to take us outside and listen to us out there, that'd be absolutely brilliant. If people want to find out more on all of this, where can they get more information?
If they want more information about the cooking and pizza ovens, etc., go to vitcas.com. That's vitcas.com, and there's lots of information there.
vitcas.com, and you can find some great stuff. Thank you. Now, David Domley, for joining us.
Bye.
Jason Jones has appeared on the most recent series of The Voice, the first one on ITV, and with his Will.i.am as his mentor. He had a great run in the series. He joins me now to tell me a bit more about the whole experience. How you doing, mate?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Good stuff. And a massive journey. Starting off with you in your world where you've been working at the RAC and singing on the side, and now it's flipped on its head. You've the day job has gone to the bye, and you're now doing your bit as a jobbing singer.
As a full-time singer, that's right, yeah. Like I say, I was working in a call centre part-time, applied for The Voice, blind audition, got all four turns, which was just absolutely mind-blowing.
And it's that choice which is the important part, isn't it? Yeah. And seeing that episode, it was just amazing. And what you must be going through at that point.
Well, yeah, it's very difficult to explain the feeling. It's like it's literally like a dream come true. I was never expecting to get all four turns. I was hoping that one would.
Yeah.
So obviously to have that choice, but then I had to go with Will.i.am. I followed my heart, basically. Yeah.
That must have been ticking over in your mind, because you must have been thinking about it beforehand, because you don't want to preempt it, but you know more or less which direction you want to go, and you know your musical background, what you enjoy listening to, and having seen the series in the past, you know what these guys can do for the singers that are working with them, and Will's just been an absolute inspiration, hasn't he?
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, going into it, I thought Will.i.am would be the most commercial to try and guide me in the right direction. And having met him, he was a great coach.
But you got to meet them all, and you basically became one of the celebrities on there as far as you went through the competition. You did really well, though. Getting to the live stuff is difficult to do, but then to progress past the first week, that you're on to a winner as far as your career goes, whatever happens after that.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing. I mean, basically, I just took every week as it came, got through, and then eventually get to the semi-finals. I was very disappointed not to get to the final. I mean, just being, you know, one round away from being a finalist in The Voice. But I have to look at what I achieved, and all the support that I had from the Midlands was just fantastic.
Absolutely, and so many people egging you on to do well. The votes coming in, but the votes coming from across the country, and whenever you talk to someone, they go, he's such a nice bloke as well. That's the best. So I know people who know you, so everyone was really pleased for you going into it. They're so keen to see it. And sometimes the way people behave when they get into these situations, it does themselves down a bit. But you certainly haven't done that, and I don't recall having seen any scandal in the papers about you.
No, I'm a very grounded, down-to-earth person. And the experience was just fantastic. It really was.
So what is next? Have you been able to finalise anything yet, or is it still a case of working through offers and putting your own stuff on the table to see what you can do?
Yeah, at the minute I'm just kind of keeping my options open. I've had a couple of offers here and there, so it's just a case of keeping my options open, getting the best deal for myself. I think this is not the end for me, this is just the start for Jason Jones.
Absolutely, and it's a great badge of honour when you're performing somewhere. It takes you up to the next level as far as management, and probably the next couple of three levels as far as management goes. You can now get the sort of representation who can really work for you, because your name is so much better known, and appearing on national TV several weeks and prime time on ITV1, absolutely brilliant. And of course all the other stuff you've done as well, which has been the most fun part of being involved in the whole experience.
It's definitely going to be the blind audition. When I sang Pillow Talk, I mean, it's had 2.2 million hits on YouTube, which is just mind-blowing. And I think, you know, it's obviously, other than Wolves being promoted, that's probably going to be the best feeling of my life.
And it's an amazing thing for your music. And as far as writing goes now, is this something you may be settling down to? Are you going to be penning a few tunes too?
Yeah, I can write music. I'm better with a melody rather than lyrics. My lyrics are a bit, you know.
But you say you just need a poet to work with you.
I need a poet, and I need someone to direct me in the right way. But like I say, this is just the start for me, you know.
And you know, who knows what can happen in the years to come. It's had a great start. If people do want to find out more about you and book you through your current means, how do they get hold of you?
So just Facebook, Jason Jones Singer. All my details are on there.
So look out for that. Nice, easy thing to do. Get online, have a look at it. All your videos are available. Just stick you on YouTube. There's going to be loads of stuff coming up from the TV over recent weeks. And good luck with it. Great to know a lad who's such a part of the city in Wolverhampton is going to go on and do great things in the world of music.
And up the Wolves.
Absolutely. Jason Jones, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Climb on board. We'll go slow in high tempo. Light and dark. We'll go high to mellow, seeing the pain, seeing the pleasure. Nobody but you, body but me, body but us together. I'd love to hold you close tonight, tonight and always. I'd love to wake up next to you, so we'll wake up the neighbor. And a place to lose the fear, the place to call the tear, reckless behavior. The place that is so pure, so dirty, rough, pillow talk. My enemy, my ally, prisoner. We'll go high, it's a thriller. So we'll wake up the neighbor. And the place to lose the fear, the place to call the tear, reckless behavior. The place that is so pure, so dirty, seeing the bed all day, bed all day, bed all day, loving and finding all. It's a paradise and it's a war song. It's a paradise and it's a war song.
Singing live, Jason Jones. On the anniversary of Shakespeare's birthday for 2017, the Shake of Things Festival takes place. Of four sites, one of which is Wolverhampton's Arena Theatre. To tell me more about it, I have Stuart Reed and Kirsty Mealing. Hello.
Hello.
So, Kirsty, first of all, tell us a bit about the four sites for this festival.
The festival is run by Emerge, which was set up by the Mighty Creatives and funded by Spirit of 2012. So there's a festival in Wolverhampton, which we're running, and then Horncastle, Tamworth and Corby.
Midland sites.
Yes.
Obviously all surrounding somewhere near even the Bard's birthplace.
Yes.
So, but that in itself, I suppose, it's the cultural home of the Shakespearean way of life, and everything sort of steps into that world in some way.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. It's like, especially I found in the Midlands, because it is so close to Shakespeare's birthplace and the RSC, there's definitely a buzz about Shakespeare in the Midlands.
Absolutely, because he will have had a strange Midlands accent.
Yes.
Like, just like I've got, but obviously these two guys haven't. Stuart, with your Scottish accent up there, obviously an imported writer to your neck of the woods, but still vitally important in the world of theatre, of course, which you're part of regularly.
Yes, yeah, 100%. And that's why it was so exciting for us to get involved with the festival, because we were going to be using Shakespeare as a basis, and there's so much you can do, and there's so much of his stories from over 400 years ago that still really relate to today. And that's a big thing that we did with the young kids, was kind of looking at how they can relate to what he talked about so long ago.
Yeah, so tell us how these productions have all been written. What's the background to the actual tales and the shows that are going to go on the day?
So basically, we went into, there's three locations involved with the festival: Highfield School, Penfield School and Wolverhampton College. So we went in, we spoke to all the young people there and just kind of asked them what they already knew, and then explained some stuff, and we looked at different plays and things, and then we just started taking all the themes and whatnot from that and then started creating. So there's a couple of things in the festival that are straight up his plays, smaller versions of. We're not doing any 3.5 hour Richard III or anything like that. I think the longest one is an hour.
Yeah.
Everything else is way less than that. They're kind of little snippets and stuff.
Yeah.
Anything from Macbeth, Titus Andronicus, to someone's made up a poem based on Shakespeare's beard. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
So a little bit of everything. And of course, little bits of his work throughout our whole language. And I assume that's a great starting point when you're talking to these kids, so they understand that it is relevant today, even though it's like 400 or so years since this stuff was starting to come into being.
Yeah, and to kind of do a nod to that, we've got a little station there where we're going to have Shakespeare insults. So we've got like a couple of pots, and they pick out of different bits, and then they can create these insults, which you might have heard or you might not have. So that's why.
And Kirsty, you've used most of those on Stuart's.
Most of them, yeah. Testing them out.
It has to be done quality control.
Yeah.
And this festival is free to attend. As you say, you've given us the list of the financing behind it. And it's great to see that sort of thing, doing something so interactive with the arts. Probably something that is that little bit out there. The kids have had the input, so it is going to be so fresh, yet still based on one of Britain's greatest ever playwrights.
Yeah, 100%. It is really fresh. A lot of the ideas that they come up with are brilliant. They're just kind of out of nowhere. They've gone, oh, well, he's talking about love, so we want to do this whole dance duet. There's a duet that's in it, which is a beautiful piece, probably one of my highlights of the whole festival, is this duet that they kind of based from Romeo and Juliet, and it's contemporary and it's really modern, and it's a fantastic piece. So yeah, there's that kind of spread out throughout the whole festival.
So obviously some music in there to back up with that, and is there going to be sort of live band appearances that are scattered throughout? Is there that sort of thing happening too, or is it a music as a background when it's needed?
Yeah, so we have, during like that piece, we have a pianist from the school as well. She's going to be accompanying them. That there's not much live music, but we have multimedia, so there's a couple of short animations that have been done that are going to be filmed, a 20-minute long Romeo and Juliet, kind of the two schools are like the instead of the two houses.
Yeah.
So there's about a 20-minute video that they've shot and cast and edited all themselves as well. So yeah, that should be good.
So lots of ways of looking at things from a slightly different angle, and using that as part of the basis for the productions that are going on. And does it use all of the theatre as well, or is it just the main stage?
So we're using all of the theatre. So we're using the main stage for the two productions, and I think we're doing the Shakespeare Showcase in there as well. So we've got Macbeth in there, Titus in there, and then in the seminar room we're going to have a workshop for the young ones. So from 2 to 6 years old, they get to participate in a workshop. And then in the Tilston area, there's also going to be some stuff in there as well.
There is free food as well at the festival, so we're going to be providing like a buffet lunch throughout the day. So free food and drinks as well. So
that doesn't make you come along.
I like free food.
Free food's always good, isn't it? What more could you possibly ask for in an event? So it's going to be a good full day, and there's going to be some interactive parts which people can just turn up for, or do they need to let you know in advance?
No, so you can book tickets in advance if you like, but you can get them on the day, on the door. Again, it's absolutely free. It's just a case of knowing numbers, and then everything that's happening has a high kind of threshold for numbers. Mm. The only thing is the 2 to 6-year-old storytelling workshop. That's a smaller number, so if you did want to come for that specifically, that letting us know on that would be good. Mm. But we can do that on the day, so it should be fine.
So is it all through the Arena website?
All through the Arena, yeah.
So arena.wlv.ac.uk, 01902 321 321, the box office number. Get in touch, get your free tickets booked in, and get along to what promises to be a fantastic event surrounding the world of Shakespeare on his birthday. Have a great time with the festival. 23rd of April is the time, the Arena Theatre, the place, and do your best putting on something good for the Bard.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, last week, sadly, the world lost Pete Clements, a brilliant presenter on Beacon back in the day, doing all sorts of shows from rock through overnights through general presenting shifts. Top bloke, really great fella, and a great host when I spent time over in Houston. He took me around, showed me the sights, and above and beyond the call of duty, look after a fellow Brit over there abroad. He will be sorely missed. This is what happened when we had a chat back in 2012, when we talked about everything from how he ended up in the US to the amazement of the Olympics in London. With Pete Clements in Houston, where I find myself again this week. Mr. Clements.
You're doing well. You're in the inner sanctum.
The Clements family home, which complete with how many cats now?
Two inside and one outside.
And is that the rule? It just comes along for feeding and then goes away again?
Yeah, I can't. Sadly, I'd like to get closer to her because, I think I'd like to have her checked out by the vet. But nope, she comes and eats, comes to drink and disappears. And the other one will drink your water.
Yeah, my drink is disappearing rapidly, but there we go. I'll hold on to that.
You hold on to that and I'll hold on to my margarita, so we'll be good.
That will do the job. So, we've just been out for something to eat. Tell us more about the restaurant you took me to.
Well, I've never been there before, but some colleagues of mine have and friends. It's called Sammy's Wild Game Grill, and they specialise in doing some different kinds of meat. And I believe, I had elk and you had...
I had buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah. But they also do things like ostrich, which they did. I wanted ostrich, but they didn't have it. But they do all these specialised meats. But that was the first time for me, so I quite enjoyed that.
And there was llama on the menu. Now, I'm wondering if that's a bit like lamb, because it's like a big lamb, isn't it, with sort of rabbity face?
I suppose it is. And they had rabbit on there as well.
Yeah.
And I think they've got these thing called python... What was it? Python?
Chili python.
Chili python. I think they're kind of a kind of frying. They had rattlesnake... But none of that was actually on the menu tonight. But it was an experience, and I think I'll go back there.
Oh, yeah, buffalo with fries, please. That works for me. Now, you've been over in the UK recently. Didn't have a chance to catch up with you because I was actually heading to Germany the week you were there. But you're back in the UK for the Diamond Jubilee of the Queen.
That's right. She sent me the invite, so I thought I'd better go. No, I went over the end of the... Well, the first couple of weeks in June. I mean, the first weekend was the Jubilee with my brother in Norwich. And then the next weekend was actually my grandson's first birthday, and they organised the christening, so I was in Claverley the following weekend. And then, of course, back to the oven, the second week in June. It hasn't got cooler since. Until today, actually, funnily enough. You're here, the rain came, the temperatures have gone down, so...
Well, I spent, Thursday and Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in fact, in Louisiana, in Gonzales, and we had full-on thunderstorms as I was coming to leave on Friday afternoon. It was proper weather.
Yeah, the thunderstorms, when they come here, can be pretty interesting. It's a touch of, if you're driving, you just don't know where you are. I mean, I used to pull over, I'm not quite so bad now, but no, when it rains here, it can hammer it down, as we say in England.
And yeah, it's more like a mist than a rain. And I suppose that's because it's probably boiling as it hit the tarmac.
Yeah, I mean, it has been hot here in Houston. I don't know about Louisiana, but I suppose it's about the same. But it's been in the mid-90s here, but with the humidity that we've had, it's been pumping the temperatures up to feel like about 105. And I'll tell you, I'd done a couple of jobs outside last week, and the one on Thursday nearly killed me. So. And the trouble is, you're outside and there's no beer.
No. And it is literally a sauna. But I was being told that when it rains, that's the only time Texans ever wash their cars. Is this true?
Actually, I hadn't heard that before, but no, you're probably right, actually, because mine did need washing. And it's probably been done nicely tonight, because we've had a few thunderstorms here today, so...
It's been a bit wet. Now, when you were over, there must have been a change to your nickname, because you were... P. Pete the Clem the Beacon Gem, which I heard numerous times from your Beacon days. Did anybody try and reconstitute that with the words free radio in the middle?
No, thankfully not, because I wouldn't have been very amused. In fact, the funny thing is, the only person I think now who posts on Facebook and calls me Pete the Glam the Beacon Gem is Billy Brillcream, and bless him. But no, I think free radio, well, I think everybody's posted enough about what we think about free radio.
Well, it's been nice because I've been having a chat with Munro Jack over recent weeks, because your path didn't quite cross when you were at Beacon, unfortunately.
I did meet Munro, but it really was ships in the night, because I Beacon was 76 when it started. I wasn't there for the first birthday, so it would be 77 when I got there. I can't remember when Munro left, but I do remember him, and of course now we're communicating on Facebook, and the other person actually that I'm communicating with on Facebook now is Chris Harper, who I was there for, but of course we didn't really do much together when we were there, but interestingly enough, in a couple of months' time, he's hopefully going to be coming down to the Casa, and he's going to stay here. He has a friend in Texas, and then hopefully he's in Calgary, and I will be returning the compliment and going up to Calgary. So it'll be nice to get that. I have Skyped him a couple of times, so it'll be nice to get in touch with Chris again, or meet Chris again. It's a few years, it must be, from the 70s, the last time I saw him.
But you're now sort of working as a former colleague timeshare scheme for all Beacon employees.
We kind of just go about and visit people. But it'd be nice to see Chris again, because he was part of the old school Beacon drive time. And as I say, I was just the long-haired lout. No, I was the long-haired kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Prospect, I suppose, if you want to put it in that kind of terms. And I was only doing the rock show with Mick, and I wasn't doing the programme when he was there. So, I mean, I was kind of like, about that big?
Not very big at all, for those watching in mono.
That big, which is
very big.
It does work on radio, does it?
Not really, no. Now, Tony Paul's over in the US, isn't he, I think? Do you ever hear anything of him?
No, he is actually on my Facebook as well, so if people want to try and get in touch with him, he's there on my friends list. The last I heard, he was in a place called Thousand Oaks in California, which I think is just outside Santa Barbara. But I haven't had any verbal communication with him or anything, just occasional comments on Facebook, to be honest, but that's where he is.
And any more in the US that we know about?
I think I haven't had any contact with him, but Bob Snyder, I think, from years gone by, is in Canada still. Well, he went to Canada. I think he may still be there. But nobody else, I don't think, is actually over here from Beacon. Not that I know of, anyway.
What was it like over in the US watching some of the Olympics over here? I know you had problems with your digital video recorder for the opening and closing ceremonies, but it must have been interesting, and with your accent still being with you, it must have been more prevalent than normal, people going to, what, you're British, isn't the Olympics great?
No. Funnily enough, because if you watch the Olympic coverage over here, unless they really, really had to, because there was no US team competing, like in the tennis, it was all US. I mean, it really was. And in fact, I didn't really watch it. And I did record the opening and closing ceremonies. As you say, for a glitch, they got wiped off my DVR for some reason. But no, a couple of people said you're doing well, you know. But it wasn't as big over here as far as that was concerned. It really was just, we are America, USA, USA. You know.
And there was some coverage in the UK of the fact that the broadcaster who's did putting it all on TV over in the US, I think they recorded the opening ceremony and broadcast it later.
Oh, yeah.
And then the closing ceremony, there was a load of acts they didn't want to see, so they actually cut over to another TV programme. I was in Wendy's, and the woman behind the counter was saying how great everything was, and she said, and then the Who came on after the big break. And I said, well, no, that wasn't a break in the UK, that was just what was it NBC did to it over here. So, slightly different to the way in which it was seen in the UK, for definite.
Yeah, it was very much just NBC. They were the only people really showing it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it was so selective, and it was really just, they were just following the US. I suppose, in a way, I can understand that, but we should have had more coverage, I think. That's what we should have had, more stations, and then it could have been a little better, but it's gone now.
Paralympics to come, though, so do you think there'll be much coverage of that in the US? Because I know, particularly with the work with it actually originating at Stoke Mandeville Hospital in the UK, it's going to be big in the UK, but internationally, have you heard much of that over here?
To be honest with you, if it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't even know it was coming on. Really wouldn't. I've heard nothing on the US media at all about it, and just the people on the Facebook. That's the only place I've heard anything.
And I mean, you have been using Facebook rather a lot of late, mostly surrounding your car. Now, tell us about your camera that you have in your car.
Ah, yes. I people may realise I had a slight fender bender a few weeks. It was beginning of July. And after that, I thought, well, it wasn't my fault, but I did hit the guy in the rear. If I'd have had a camera, then we could have seen that the guy just stopped. So now, yes, I have a dash cam. I'm going around. I feel like something out of Cops, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's amazing what you record. I mean, it's I've never really noticed before, but it's incredible how many near misses there are in a day.
So, yeah, a Clem cam actually visible online. You've been posting your highlights. Yeah, so it was like one of these Cops TV shows where they're showing you the tape, only you don't get to chase the bad guys, do you?
Well, I think, actually, if I came across something where there was a bad guy around, I might chase him, to be honest with you, because, I mean, that's something I've been thinking about. I don't think I've ever seen an actual wreck, apart from mine, happen. You know, I mean, I come across a lot of them, but I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be quite neat, really, if I was there and I've got it, here's the evidence, you know, got to someone say, you need some help, here, I got it for you, it's all on tape.
Having been a witness to an accident and had the guy who hit somebody else and caused the accident admitted at the scene, then changed their mind afterwards, I would have liked to have had one of these dash cams. Where can I get one from?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's give them a plug. I mean, I'm sure you can get to this website in the UK. It was video-cams.com. And I'll be honest with you, I bought a kind of a 720 definition one, and I wasn't over-impressed, and now I have gone for the full high def, and I'm quite happy. But you can check it out, video-cam.com. They have a few.
And have you got one just pointing forwards, or do you have a rear view one? Are you thinking of upgrading to a full surround sound?
Well, I don't know. As you probably know, I'm thinking of replacing my car anyway, so maybe I might have to get one. But they do have them on there where you have a camera at the front and the back, but they tend to be more for trucks and RVs and stuff like that. But I had some quite good fun with mine.
I shall keep looking out for the Facebook posts. And I say, you're on Facebook quite a bit. I think we mentioned this last time. Twitter isn't really your scene, is it? It's not something you've gone for, even though you've got your G Slate you take everywhere with you, and you've now got a Windows phone. You know, you could be sharing all of your views of the world as you go along.
The Twitter thing is more time. And I mean, yeah, I'm on Facebook all the time, but I don't post a lot, but I'm always there paying attention to what's going on. And if anybody kind of sees, it looks like I'm on there all the time. It's just, I just don't bother to log out. So, but the Twitter thing, I did try with the Windows phone. No, sorry, with my Bluetooth, there was supposed to be a way I could post onto Twitter. But unfortunately, when I did it, it didn't just put the text on. It actually made an MP3 link, which I wasn't ever impressed by. So I was thinking, great, I'll be able to get on Twitter. I'll just be able to press the button on my ear, and when I'm driving down the road, do a tweet. But it didn't quite work out like I thought it was, which is a shame.
I like that idea, you know, live and direct from the car, press a button, and you could introduce songs, and then people could actually select them on their own iPods, and they could have the Clem on the radio again.
Well, that would be nice. I mean, I'm still thinking of the internet stuff. I mean, it's just at the moment, thankfully, life has got a bit back to normal here in Houston. We're lucky in Houston because we're the last place in the States basically to go into a recession, and we're normally the first to come out because we're an oil-based town. So we don't get it as bad as everybody does up north. But and I'm real busy right now, so that's the problem. It's just time is my enemy.
It does seem to be rather busy. The shops I was in town today at the Galleria, which is a place you've taken me to in the past, and a fantastic shopping venue, and it was busy. Maybe helped for the fact I think it's no tax day today as well.
Oh yeah, we have this every year. It's more to help the kiddies who are going back to school. I mean, it's not everything's tax free. It's stuff for the kids, you know, rucksacks and pencils, pens or whatever. I know there's a lot of people who do go out there and take advantage of it, but I mean, that just means you're spending money where you wouldn't have done if it hadn't been a tax-free weekend, if that makes sense. You know, so you're actually not saving anything. You're just spending money, but minus the tax. But that's a yearly thing. It's for the kids going back to school.
And, you know, you say that Houston started to come out of recession since we last spoke. It was at the Houston Air Show last year. Obviously, that's probably going to be bigger and better with more people going along this time round, and they always like to build on these things. But do you think Houston has grown and Texas as a state has really started to show itself and what it can do again as more cash has become available?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that is the biggest indicator for me, and of course in my business, is we're seeing more houses being built. For a couple of years, from 2008 to 2010, they weren't building any new houses. A lot of my home builders who would just build a house, sell it. So we've seen all that come back. And the money definitely is going back into the system. I'm doing a lot more work than I was, thankfully.
Which is good. So what else is coming up for you in the near future, apart from the haircuts? Any other plans for any changes in your life?
No, not really. I'm just going to be kind of going along. And as I say, things are busy, which is good. And now I've got to go through the biggest headache in your life is buying a house, and the second is buying a car. So now I'm going to be thinking about buying a car, and I'm thinking about becoming a soccer mum. Because I'm going to... But practically wise, and this is what I got to think about, practically wise, a minivan is going to be what I need for my job. So that's it. Soccer mum peak coming up.
But, I mean, the cars on the road over here, they are pretty mental. We were on the way back from the restaurant tonight, and I turned left, which is always a nightmare in this country, and there was this thing with massive wheels and a mini truck on top.
Yeah, it's something I never knew what this thing was or what the word meant for a long time, until about a couple of years ago. It's called a dually. And what it is, it's a pickup truck, and it has kind of double wheels at the back on each side, hence the word dually, which I suppose is a very logical thing to call the car. But they are pretty popular. And the interesting thing is, if it wasn't for Texas, there wouldn't be as many pickup trucks on the market, because it's Texas, basically, that keeps the pickup market going, because there's so many of them bought in Texas.
See, I just thought I was biased for the fact that I always see them on the roads, but it's only because I only come to Texas, as things stand, that I'm seeing them moving about.
Absolutely. You know, as I say, there's more in Texas than anywhere else in the country. But then again, you see, Texas is like America, only bigger.
It is an odd state, and it's, I think, were you telling me last time, it's the only one that could actually leave the United States if it really wanted to. Its constitution allows that.
That's correct. We are the state that can secede, I think that's the word, and I came across some T-shirts the other day, actually, with that on, but yeah, we could if we wanted to.
You may be leading the revolution there, you never know. Pete, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for meeting up with me. We had a bit of a manic week. We were going to try and get together for a whole day and head off to Galveston and enjoy a look at the water over there. I've had the fortunate time this afternoon of spending some time at Kema Boardwalk. That was really good. I stayed there a couple of visits ago to the Houston area, and it was really nice, sat on the front, watching the pelicans go by. It seemed to be a lot of brown pelicans in Texas.
Yeah, a lot of white and brown pelicans, and down there you're not supposed to feed the birds down there either. You've got to be a little careful. But Kema is a great place. Does get a tad busy. I used to live literally the other side of the bridge, and I always used to say it would take me 5 minutes to drive there and 20 minutes to park. But no, a great place, Kema. And when we do go down to Galveston, I'm not too sure we're going to get you to the seaside, because I'm sure we're never going to drag you out of La King's with the flavoured ice cream and the candies. I'm sure we'll drag you out of there kicking and screaming.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say. I do like my ice cream, though. It is a very good point. But it's good to see you again. Nice having a chat. And next time, when you do get a chance to come back to the UK, which I know won't be for a good while yet, but when you are back in the UK, we'll have to see if we can get together. And I think I use several pints in a British pub rather than the strange stuff I have to buy for you over here, because the beer's not great, is it?
No, I do enjoy it. It's not so much the beer, it's the atmosphere. There just isn't the same atmosphere. I did go to a British pub called the Red Lion a couple of weeks ago for a pint and a curry. It's just not the same atmosphere, but having said that, I had the beef vindaloo, and apart from the fact it was damn hot, especially for American standards, it was actually a very good curry, and I did enjoy the curry.
Pete, thank you for the hospitality, and thanks for chatting with me again.
No problem.
Back next week for episode 409. See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.